Lord, we thank you for your word that gives life to us. Helps us solve our problems.
Does everything we need for it to do, Lord God. And we thank you for it. I want you to join with me this morning. I know this is a little different message maybe than what I would normally do. But, you know, there's some questions and things in the Bible that we just never stop to think about. But one of the things that we have to understand with regard to the Scriptures is that the Scriptures are not just a loosely put together collection of different events and things that happen that have no relationship to each other. Everything that's in the Scripture must be interpreted in the context of the entire Scriptures. I mean, it's got to fit into everything. You can't say something, this is one way, when there's another Scripture over here that says the opposite. And I was just was studying and seeking the Lord about what to do, and I was reading through the Scriptures, and I read this story, and all of a sudden I started seeing little things in that story that I had never seen before. But there's quite something to be said in here, because it shows you stuff, and then it causes you to have other questions. Just like a question I put in a bulletin and we'll get to later. You know, if lying to the Holy Spirit gets you killed, most of us would be dead. Now, they got killed for it. But why did they get killed for it and we don't? Well, let's see what we can find out this morning as we look at this Scripture. And we're going to start with Acts chapter 4 and verse 32. Acts chapter 4 and verse 32. Now the multitudes of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. Now that sets them apart quite a bit from the modern typical day-to-day church today in 2011. We're usually pretty concerned about our possessions. And with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all. With great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Now get a picture of that. They're out here testifying. The heart of their gospel message is that Jesus Christ has risen from the dead. And as a result of his rising from the dead, God has forgiven the sins of mankind. And it says, with great power and great grace was upon them all. Now, it's quite interesting. As you study through the Scriptures, you'll find that there's a hard line to separate power from grace. You don't have a handful of power over here and a handful of grace over here. And power gets it done and grace forgives it. What you have is the grace of God as an extension of God's power. God's willingness to release his power for the things that we need it for is grace. Grace is not just God forgiving us of our sins. Grace is God reaching out to us. It says, and great grace was upon them all. Nor was there anyone among them who lacked. For all who were possessors of lands and houses sold them and brought the proceeds of the things that were sold and laid them at the apostles' feet. And they distributed to each as everyone had need. And Joseph, who also was named Barnabas by the apostles, which is translated son of encouragement, a Levite of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. This is the same Barnabas that later went on a mission trip with Paul. Now, these people were so committed that they said, whatever it takes for us all to make it, whatever it takes for all of us to make it, that's what we're willing to do. And so they had an atmosphere where the apostles were preaching the resurrection of Jesus Christ with great power. There was great grace upon all the people. Nobody had a lack in any way whatsoever because everything was taken care of. 3 John 2 was in effect. Beloved, I mentioned you may prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. Because these people were putting forth the work of the kingdom of God. Being what God had called them to be. Now, that's the background that we're working in. Now, what we find out next here is we come into chapter 5. But what's the difference between but and and? What if it had been an and there? What if it said, and a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession? It would be saying to me from a grammatical point of view that he was continuing the flow of what was going on. We all went here and they went with us. We all went here, but now and I don't have to say anything else. You get an implication from that word. We all went, but what do I mean? What am I getting ready to say? There was some problem in the going. Either something went wrong, or somebody didn't go. And so what we see here from the presentation is that in the midst of all of this concern, in the midst of all of this power, in the midst of all of this grace, the people extending themselves to one another, being concerned about one another, helping to provide for one another's needs, in this somewhat of a utopia, all of a sudden, there's a but, meaning I'm getting ready to tell you something that doesn't fit in. They sold a possession. That's what everybody else was doing. That's what everybody else was doing. And you know, one of the things that you have to look at is when you become part of the church, is doing what everybody else is doing. And the reason we do what everybody else is doing is because what everybody else is doing is right. You don't do what everybody else is doing just because everybody else is doing it. You ought to assume that it's the right thing to do. Now, there wasn't anything wrong with what was being done here. And people were, now, what do you think? You look back at Barnabas, and he comes in, he lays this money down, and all these people saying, wow, Barnabas is wonderful. Man, what a heart this man has. Son of encouragement. He's sold this and he's given it all. And then you have Ananias and Sapphira. What are they thinking? Sold a possession and he kept back part of the proceeds. His wife also being aware of it. And brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? While it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your own control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. Then Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and breathed his last. So great fear came upon those who heard these things. Great fear, great reverence, great respect. Saying, we better be up and forthright. Things better be the way they seem. The whole issue here is not the money for the possession of the land. It's not the amount that he gave. It's the fact that what he gave the impression that this was all I have. This is all of it. Why did he do that? I believe it was because he wanted to look just as good as Barnabas. He wanted to look just as good as the others that were doing it. But there was something underlying there. And what was it that was underlying? Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit? Now, what was Peter asking there? Was he asking, what's the devil think he's doing? No, he's not asking that. He's not trying to figure out why the devil told Ananias to do that. He's trying to get Ananias to answer the question, why did you listen? Why did you listen? Now, the first point that I want to make here is this. Listening to the devil will get you killed. Regardless of what else you're doing, listening to the devil will get you killed. Eventually. Because listening to the devil will never point you in the direction that God intends for you to go. Well, you know, I know God said to do this and go over here. But now look over here. There's just as many people over there that need God as there is over here. And besides, you got a better situation over here than you got over here. No, devil, I'm not going to listen to you. He said, everything that you had is yours. God never told you. Evidently, there was nothing in the structure of the church that said, you got to sell what you got, and you got to give it all, take care of the people here in the church. There was nothing like that. But the people that did it, it says they did it, and they brought it and laid it at the apostles. And it says of Barnabas, he brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. He brought all of the money that he had for that. And Ananias said, I want this appearance. I want to be considered a vital part of the church. So, Sapphira, what's what we're going to do? We're going to sell our land, but we can't afford to give it all. So we're going to give part of it, and we'll just keep back the other part, and nobody will know. And then Peter, after that happened, he said, while it was yours, while it remained, was it not yours? And after it was sold, was it not your own control? In other words, if you'd have walked in here and said, Peter, we sold this land, we got $10,000, we're going to give you $5,000. But they came in there and said, we sold this land, and here's $5,000 we got. Peter said, you're lying to God. Then Ananias died. Breathed his last. And the young men arose and wrapping him up, carried him out and buried him. Now it was about 3 hours later when his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. Now let me go ahead and read. And Peter answered, tell me whether you sold this land for so much. She said, yes, for so much. Did you sell this for $1,000? Yes. When you actually sold it for two. Then Peter said, how is it that you have agreed together to test the Spirit of the Lord? Look, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out. Then immediately she fell down at his feet and breathed her last. And the young men came in and found her dead, and carrying her out, buried her by her husband. So great fear came upon all the church and upon all who heard these things. Now we have a situation here where they lied to God and they dropped dead. I can remember, and this morning while we were at home, I remember a little song that we used to sing with the kids in youth camp, and all years ago. Ananias and Sapphira got together to conspire, plot to cheat the church and get ahead. They knew God's power but did not fear it, tried to cheat the Holy Spirit. Peter prophesied it and they both fell dead. And you'd sing it, and then the second time you'd sing a little faster. And then the third time you'd sing it a little, until you got so fast you just couldn't have time, didn't have time to sing the whole words. God loves a cheerful giver. Give him all you've got. He loves to see you laughing when you're in an awful spot. So when the odds are up against you and you cannot do a thing, praise God. To praise him is a joyous thing. But I got to looking at this thing here. I'm going to chase a rabbit off the trail for just about 2 minutes here. It's not in line with who killed Ananias, not in the main flow of it. It's just a little sidebar here, rabbit trail. Ananias died. They came in, they carried him out, and they buried him. 3 hours later, his wife comes in, not knowing what had happened. I looked at Laverne this morning, and I said, let me ask you a question. I said, what would you do if I died, and they took me out and buried me, and never even told you I was dead? Now think about that. I died, they took me out and buried me. 3 hours later, you came by. Nobody had even come tell you I did yet. Now, that paints a picture different to me of the way that we deal with death. And when she came in, she fell down dead. They carried her out and buried her. I'm thinking about this. I'm thinking about what an unusual thing that would be. I mean, now think about this. That when that horse fell on Ricardo, what if it had killed him? And they just took him down, buried him, and then come told you. I mean, we're not going to do nothing like that, right? I mean, but we got scripture says that's what they did. And so I'm looking at that, and I'm thinking, man. You know, you can look at it, and you can say, boy, that's really uncaring. And I got to thinking about that, and I just said, okay, God, what's different about that than now? I mean, we take them to the funeral home, we get them fixed up, we lay them out so we can go watch them. And everybody else comes around and watches. We wouldn't dare just bury them when they die. Take them from the hospital where they died and buried them, and then say everybody so-and-so was died and buried the other day. Anything. Do anything about what? But you see, we have a different mindset. We have a different mindset. And the thing that I saw in this that God kind of spoke to my heart was, he said, why should you glorify death? Death is a process. Don't celebrate death. Now, I'm not telling you what to do with some of your family members or you or whatever die. You do what you want to. But I'm simply saying we've got a situation here that's different than what we would have carried it out, so why is it different? Debt's over. Don't worry about it. And she comes in. But now, looking at this situation, based upon the entire Word of God and the truthfulness of God, is God a killer? Is God a killer? If he kills for lying to him, you'd all be dead. I mean, if it's just indiscriminate. I mean, there's got to be some compassion in God's grace because he's let a lot of people get by with a lot worse than what they did. Now, let's look at this whole idea of why we die. In John 10:10, we have a scripture. John 10:10 says, the thief doesn't come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. To steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I have come that they might have life. If you go into the scripture in John 3, where Jesus talks about, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but everlasting. For I did not come into the world, for he did not come into the world to condemn the world. He didn't come into the world to kill the world. He came in to save it. But I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. When did the thief come? He came somewhere around Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 2. He showed up in the garden. And ever since then, he has come for no other reason except to kill and to steal and to destroy. General. So, you know, when you hear the expression, the thief cometh not except for to steal, to kill, and destroy. Don't take it so personal. He's been around since the beginning, stealing and killing and destroying. And you live on this planet, and you're liable to get caught in front of his vehicle. You're liable to be on the scene when he does some of that killing and stealing and destroying. There was a lot of people, I'm sure, that love God that are in heaven now because they were in the wrong place in Alabama here a couple of months ago. The thief came through stealing, killing, and destroying. And they got caught in it. But Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. That you might have life and have it more abundantly. I am the antithesis of the evil one. I am the Christ as opposed to the Antichrist. I'm here for one reason. He's here for one reason. Hebrews chapter 2. You know, sometimes our success or failure is greatly related to our thinking. And our understanding of things. And I'm not even going to promise you that I'll answer every question about everything this morning, but I'm just going to throw these things out and let you think about them. Because you're going to have to put them all together in your own mind, and you're going to have to come up with an answer. You can't just say, "Well, this happened, that happened, the other thing happened." You don't. Just cause it happened. And as much then as Hebrews 2, verse 14. Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same. He's talking about Jesus here. That through death, he might destroy him who had the power of death. That is the devil. Now, notice something about this. It was not the life of Jesus that destroyed the devil. It was not the 3 years that Jesus taught his disciples to heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out devils. It was not that 3 years of teaching that defeated the devil. It is not what you have learned that will defeat the devil in your life. Now, the more you learn, the more ability you're going to have to deal with him. But the only thing that has destroyed the power of the devil It tells us here in verse 14. He became flesh and blood, and himself likewise shared in the same, that through his death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is, the devil. Through death. Would not have mattered what Jesus came and taught. Would not have mattered how long he stayed. Would not have mattered how great a person he became. Could have become the king of the Jews and the ruler of this planet. But until he died, the devil was on the loose. And the devil used his weapon to do the deed. And he rejoiced in it. And it says, because he did that, he released those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. So we've got a situation here where it says that the death of Jesus destroyed him who had the power of death. That is the devil. Now, you understand that death in its fullest sense is separation from God? Death in its fullest biblical sense is separation from God. The only one that has the ability to separate you from God is Satan. And he has to get your cooperation to do it. And he places something in our mind like he did in the mind of Ananias that's contrary to the truth of God's word, and Ananias followed through with it. So here's God that's there in control. Here's the Holy Spirit that's there that's producing the power and the grace and everything. Here's the devil doing the talking into Ananias' ear, telling him, you don't have to give him all the money, just tell him you gave it all. And then here's Ananias doing something. Making decisions based upon what he wants to do and how he thinks it's going to best affect him. And in the midst of all of this, when he hears all that Peter has to say, he falls down dead and breathes his last. Who killed him? Who killed him? Did the Holy Spirit zap him dead? Or did the one who has the power of death say, I got you? Or did Ananias agree with the wrong voice and terminate himself? You know, I'm on blood thinner. Coumadin. Warfarin. The generic name. Mercedes calls it rat killer. And I'm on a certain dose to keep my blood at a certain level. Now, what if, for some reason or other, I got confused and I thought about that warfarin, that rat killer, and I said, you know, if 6 milligrams of it will work well, 12 milligrams of it ought to work twice as good. And so I just start popping an extra 6 milligrams every day, and somewhere down the road in a few weeks, I just fall down and breathe my last. Who killed me? God didn't kill me? Well, it must have been God's time. Must have been God's will for him to die. I mean, after all, he died. Yeah, the stupid fella poisoned himself to death out of his ignorance. Somebody drinks all her life and dies of cirrhosis of the liver, is that a punishment from God? Get on drugs, overdose, OD. Well, okay, God got even with him. He's shooting up drugs, and look at there. He got overdosed, and God killed him. Ananias and Sapphira got themselves in the mess they were in themselves. And they suffered the consequences of it. And it was neither worse nor less than anything else that could have happened. It's just that's what happened to them. Let's go to a scripture that we don't talk about too much, but I think it's related to this. And it's in Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13, beginning with verse 1. There were present at that season some who told him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answered and said to them, "Do you suppose that these Galileans were worse sinners than all other Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." Or those 18 on whom the tower in Siloam fell and killed them, do you think that they were worse sinners than any other men who dwell in Jerusalem? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. How about this? Do you suppose that those Alabamans in Tuscaloosa were worse sinners than all other Alabamans because they suffered such things? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Or those thousands of people on whom the town of Joplin, Missouri, fell and killed them. Do you think they were worse sinners than all other men who dwell in Missouri? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. See, they came and people look and they judge, boy, they must have really been bad, because look what happened to them. They must have been hiding something. I mean, you know, things happen to good people and you say, well, they must have had some kind of secret sins in their life. What's Jesus saying here? Jesus is really saying, you're in a world where things happen. Some of it you bring on yourself, but it doesn't mean that you're a worse sinner or a less sinner than somebody else. Because there are people out here in the world that are sinning big time and getting by with it. There are people in the church that are sinning big time and getting by with it. And there are others that feel like when they step out of the path, they get nailed. And all of those things are there. Now, did God look at them and say, I'm going to kill you, Ananias and Sapphira, because you lied to me? I asked you to do that thing you told me you couldn't. I'm going to kill you. Jerry Relford, I told you to do that. You know you didn't do it, but you told me you would, but you didn't do it. I'm going to kill you for that. You know what the devil's doing? That demon's standing over there. Kill him, kill him. Go ahead, kill him. Now listen to this. Go ahead, please kill him. You ain't killed anybody yet. Oh, you don't want to kill him? Let me do it then. Let me do it then. He's on my territory. He's on my territory. Don't complain if you get a lick while you're on the devil's territory and you have to say, ouch, or you have to get up and stop the bleeding. You ought to spend every day thanking God that you didn't get killed while you're out there. Thank you, God, I'm still alive after today. Thank you, Lord God, for your mercy and your grace. I fooled around with the devil and I didn't get caught. Because you see, the devil's not everywhere all the time. He doesn't know everything that goes on. You might get on his territory over here and he wouldn't find out about it until next week. You're back off again. But you don't want to step off at the wrong time. And you don't ever know when that is. And you know what Jesus was telling them when he's talking about repenting? He said, you know, this is happening. It's not because they were worse. He said, I'm telling you, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Somewhere down the road, disobedience to God is going to cause us to perish. Now, it may not be eternal damnation. It may not be going to hell. But it'll kill you in this life. It'll take the stuff away from you in this life. It'll make your life miserable. It'll get you in the wrong place at the wrong time. And you won't enjoy yourself a bit. But when we continue to go in a direction and listen to voices that are not from God, like Ananias and Sapphira, listen to the voice of Satan and did what he told them to do, it eventually caught up with them. And Jesus is saying that everything that we do deliberately when we turn away from God, eventually it's going to catch up with us. If I smoke cigarettes and I die when I'm 62 because I've got COPD and lung cancer, it's not because God passed judgment on me for smoking cigarettes. It's because the cigarettes destroyed my body and I was too stubborn or too uninformed to realize what was happening to me. Somebody drinks all their life and they die with cirrhosis of the liver. It's not a judgment of God against them. It's not that God just reached out one day and punched their liver and caused it to turn the way it turns when it gets cirrhosis. It's because the effect of what they did over the long time without a repentance caused them to perish. We get too pointed about wondering about things, you know. Somebody has a car wreck. Well, wonder what God saw that we didn't see. Doesn't mean God saw anything. You know. I tell you what, you get out there and look at the traffic on the road, and it's a wonder we all don't get killed in car wrecks. I mean, you drive from here to Louisville, or like we do, go to Cincinnati and Columbus, and it all that, you know, the thousands and thousands and thousands of cars passing one another on those interstates all the time, thousands and thousands of them. And all the times that we've been to Columbus, we've seen a handful of wrecks. But if people, you know, if people weren't really paying attention, and I know we got a lot of crazy drivers out there maybe, but you know, if most of the people weren't paying attention to that, you couldn't get in your car and go anywhere without running over a wreck or being in one. I mean, how many times you been this close going 80? Sitting there, and here comes this big semi up by you. You're going 70, and he's passing you. So that means he's going faster than 70, and he's going right there. And you could just almost reach out and file your fingernails on the tire going around, and you get past it with nothing happening. Little bobble one way or another. If there was enough bobbles out there, it'd be a war zone on the highway. But sometimes things happen. Because life. And you know, weather in this country got messed up, in this world got messed up thousands and thousands of years, and it's not straightened out yet. And sometimes when it comes to fruition, it just hits and it goes right through a spot. And sometimes if you're aware of it, you can pray it off. But you can trust God through it all. And you know, I'm just glad that no matter what happens to me, I am not going to perish. Because I repented. And repent is just realize you're going in the wrong direction and changing it. Repentance is not getting saved again. You know, you're going down the road and you look up and see a road sign and it says such and such west, and you all of a sudden you're like, I should be going east. Now, how are you going to get on the right road? You're going to repent. You're going to change directions. Or you can just say, I don't care if it says east. I'm going west, and I'm going to stay on this road because I'll get there eventually. If you can figure out how to get across the Atlantic or the Pacific or whatever, if you can stay on the road, yeah, you'll get there. You'll go all the way around and come up behind it. I think that's the way we get to heaven sometimes. Instead of going the straight and narrow, we go all the way around and come up from behind. All that extra work. So, who killed Ananias? Well, I think he committed suicide. I think he opened himself up and terminated himself. Well, if he hadn't done anything wrong, still died. Well, who killed Paul? Who killed Paul? Was it God, the devil, or Nero? Well, Nero did it. Well, who was inspiring Nero? I don't believe it was God. I'm tired of Paul being down there. Time for him to come home, kill him. When you get home, what are you going to say? God, why couldn't you just brought me home? Why couldn't I just die? Just fell over dead, breathed my last. Why'd I have to get my head cut off? You know, I'm sure God's going to say, look, Paul, that's life. It happened. You know, if I stopped everything that goes wrong, it'd be heaven. And you know, the time is coming when he's going to stop everything that's going wrong. And then it will be heaven. So, you know, just take some of these things that I've said and put them in perspective. And it's better off just to not even ask some of the questions that we ask. Because when you ask a question, if you don't get an answer, you know what you're going to do? You're going to try to answer it yourself. If you ask God a question and you get an answer, rejoice in it. If you ask him a question and you don't get an answer, don't try to answer it yourself. Either just go on where you are till he answers it, or forget it. I got one more scripture and I'm going to close. Romans chapter 6, verse 23. Some of you recognize that. For the wages of sin is death. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. The wages of sin is death. So what causes death? Collecting your wages. What causes eternal life? The gift from God. So I think I'll just go on through life with my eye on the gift. And try to keep from collecting any wages of sin. Wages of sin is death. Other things that could be talked about. Did Ananias and Sapphira go to heaven when they died? Did they trust in Jesus? Were they believers? If they were, they went to heaven, even though they died because they lied to the Holy Spirit. Either that or you spend all your life serving God, being everything you want to be, being everything he needs you to be, being the example of everything and go through a tragedy and not deal with that tragedy real well, and take a few drinks too many and run your car into a tree because you was drunk and kill yourself. Now, did that act send you to hell? If it did, then nothing in the blood of Jesus did you any good anyway. Let's stand. Bow our heads, close our eyes. Now, before we pray, I want to make an announcement. We have a guest minister tonight, and I'd like for all of you to come and support him. And he's been preaching for a long time, but he's going to be here with us tonight, and he's going to be preaching. As a matter of fact, he's with us here this morning, and we're going to get the opportunity tonight to hear Brother Michael Lemon. So y'all come out and help support him. Now let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for all you've done for us. Lord God, we need to walk in the truth. And sometimes what we see or what seems to be easily perceived maybe just doesn't quite reflect what we think might be the truth. But as we study it and look into things to see how it all works together, and Lord God, I thank you that I don't have to perish. I may go through things in this life that I don't want to go through. I may have to deal with the devil, but greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Lord God, my goal is to finish this life and hear well done, thou good and faithful servant, and to walk into eternal life and be victorious. And I pray that, Lord God, for each one. And as we go through this week, Lord God, let us not be knocked off balance by things that we don't understand, but come to the realization of what the Word says about everything. Lord, you gave us a command. You said, thou shalt not kill. And Lord God, the only reason we see in the Scriptures for death is the result of sin. Now we know, Lord God, that we all have to die. But sin's the killer, not you. The residual of the enemy, the thief, that's been here for all these years, he's the one that does it. But you've come that we might have life and have it more abundantly. And I thank you, Lord God, for making that possible. And I embrace it in Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. God bless you.